Thank you for the opportunity to be opening up God's Word with you today for your Parks Baptist online service. My name is James. I'm the pastor at Forbes Baptist Church, and it's a wonderful privilege to be able to share with you God's Word from Matthew chapter 8. It's a pity that I can't be there in person with you to see familiar faces and to see many new faces that have joined Parks Baptist over the last couple of years. Please join me. I'm going to pray and ask God to help us understand who He is more clearly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive Your Word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When I was a teenager growing up, our neighbour had three water buffalo, and occasionally these three water buffalo, they'd wander through the creek into our place, and then they'd wander back. One day after school, I got home, and the three water buffalo, they'd sort of wandered their way through the creek onto our side, and they were needed to be herded back. And so on this day, I headed out, and I thought, this will be okay. I was calm, cool, collected. Everything was under control, and I started to herd these three water buffalo back towards where they were meant to go. Controlled, the circumstances were great. Everything was going really, really well. But in an instant, in a moment, my circumstances changed, and these three water buffalo, instead of just quietly walking where they were meant to go, they turned on me. They turned around, they put their head down, and they started to charge me. I was no Crocodile Dundee who could just sit there and woo them. But these buffalo, they turned and they started to chase me. And I started to fear for my life. One moment everything was calm and collected, but the next minute life had just turned. And so I started running. My stomach had gone tight. I was worried. I thought, am I going to make it through the gate? Constantly looking behind me as I ran as fast and as fast as I could. I kept looking behind me to see how close they were, and they were gaining ground on me. And I was looking around for any moment for these three water buffalo to put their head down and to flick me up. My stomach had dropped. I was afraid. But thankfully, I sort of made it through the gate in enough time that they gave up. They weren't able to get me. But I was afraid and scared. Petrified. Can you remember moments in your own life where you've had moments where you've been petrified or scared? Where circumstances were going along really, really well, but then in an instant it changes. A car accident. Doctor's reports to say that you've got cancer. A phone call in the middle of the night to say that your father has passed away, and you think, what am I going to do with life now? He's done so much for me. How am I going to face tomorrow? Maybe when COVID-19 and the lockdowns first came in, you were like, man, I'm afraid. What's this mean for us? We've never had something like that in this generation. Or maybe you're petrified to think, how am I going to cope homeschooling? Afraid, uncertain, sort of feeling a little bit out of control. Maybe it's not moments, though, in your life where you feel afraid. Maybe you are afraid every day because you're frightened of failure. Maybe frightened of not meeting the standard or failing. Frightened, sorry, that you may fail someone else or letting people down or not reaching your full potential, which leads maybe to many sleepless nights. When COVID-19 first came in, it was many people trying to take control in some format, you know, people buying toilet paper or buying food, stocking up on a variety of things, just trying to take control of one little part of their life. We are frightened. Why do we get frightened? We're frightened because we can't control the situation. And I think just over the last 12 months, with droughts and fires, with the coronavirus, whether you've been impacted majorly or whether you haven't been, I think maybe Australians and people around the world, we've started to realize for a moment we aren't in control as much as we think we are. We don't hold the world in our hands. But if you're a follower of Jesus, we have nothing to fear. Why? Firstly, because of who Jesus is. Today we're going to have 3 points, and the first one is who Jesus is. That's why we don't have to fear today or tomorrow. If you're a follower of Jesus, we have nothing to fear. And if you're not a Christian, this passage will show that you don't have to fear if you know Jesus. In today's passage, the calming of the storm is revealing to us who Jesus is and that he has authority. It's not primarily about Jesus being with us through the storms of life, but it's even greater than that. Grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. In the context of the previous verses, in verse 18, Jesus sees a large crowd. They come around him. People ask a variety of questions. I will go wherever you will go, Jesus. Jesus says, well, foxes have dens, birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. What Jesus is saying is there's a cost to following Jesus. Some follow, some don't. And in verse 23, Jesus, he got into the boat. It's Jesus gets into the boat, and who follows? His disciples follow him. They're excited to be following this Jesus. He's just come off the Sermon on the Mount, where he spoke with such authority. They want to follow him, and they hop into this boat, excited to follow Jesus. They're excited, but this excitement turns quickly. Their circumstances turn quickly, and they go from something that looks really promising to something that looks, oh man, what have we got ourselves into? Look at verse 24. A violent storm arose on the sea so that the boat was being swamped. It's like a great earthquake. The waves were coming in. They're so big, these waves, that these disciples are afraid. They think they're going to die. These are disciples, many of who would have been fishermen. They'd been on the sea. They knew what it was like to be there on the day or night. They knew what it was like to be in a storm. But this storm was so big that they are petrified, that they thought they were going to drown. Their circumstances change. And Jesus is fast asleep. Jesus is fast asleep with no worries in the world. I'm a deep sleeper. You know, my wife often says, did you hear that in the middle of the night? No. Did you hear the neighbours down the road? You know, did you hear that burnout? No, I didn't hear anything. Like, I'm a really, really deep sleeper. I'm actually a really, really deep sleeper too, especially at 1 a.m. in the morning when the kids are crying and screaming. You know, I just don't hear them. But I'm sure if you tipped a bucket of cold water over my face, I would be awake. And yet Jesus here is just calmly asleep. Why? He's not frightened. He's not afraid. But what we're going to see is that he's in control. And so the disciples who are filled with fear, who know how to be on the lake, they turn to the only place they can turn, and they turn to Jesus. Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus wakes up. But it's interesting how he responds, right? Imagine this, you know, my six-year-old, he comes to me at 1 a.m. in the morning and says, Dad, guess what? The house is on fire. I'm like, oh, okay. He says, I was playing with matches and I got the fuel from the lawnmower and I was just trying to warm myself up and the house is on fire. Get out. Now, how am I going to respond? I'm not going to just sit up in bed and say, okay, right, let's sit down, let's have a moment, let's have a discussion here and go, well, why do you think that was a silly thing to do? Why would you go and get a match and get fuel at 1 a.m. in the morning and set fire to the house? It's just silly. No, no, what would I'm not going to sit there and talk with the six-year-old. I'm going to be getting everyone out of the house and going, let's get out of here quick, quick, quick. But Jesus, they're in the middle of a storm, and Jesus just says, are you a little faith? Why are you so afraid? And why does Jesus say that? Because he has authority over creation. There's nothing to be frightened of. And so then Jesus gets up and Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves. Have you ever tried rebuking someone or something that you don't have authority over? You know, you're shopping at Woolies and you know, you walk out the car park and there's a 12-year-old there and they're smoking. And you just go, mate, you know smoking's not good. You shouldn't do it for your health. What's a 12-year-old going to say to you? He's just going to go, who are you? You're not the police. You're not my parents. Up yours. You get pulled over by a police officer and he says, excuse me, ma'am, you've been speeding. And the police officer says, well, you know, sorry, you say to the police officer, no. And then you decide, well, you know what I'll do? I'll rebuke the police officer and say, there's no way you can book me and I'm not paying my fine, right? You don't have the authority to rebuke a police officer. You can only rebuke what you have authority over. Have you ever tried walking out in the middle of a thunderstorm outside on your front veranda and you look outside and you just go, thunder, stop. Lightning, stop. Rain, stop. Imagine if you could say, hey, rain, start. Now, many of you farmers would be pretty excited about that. But you know you can't. We can't because we don't have authority over those things. Imagine the P&O cruises I could go on if I could calm the waves. But he rebukes and creation listens. And it was completely calm. He got up, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Right, we go from extreme waves to being dead calm. Now, there's some really huge benefits of living in Forbes. Forbes is just so much better than parks. We have a lake. Like you can run around. It's quite fun. It's green. You run around a lake. We've got great shops. Forbes has got many other things that Parks doesn't have. We have a ski centre, the aquatic centre, where you can ski. You don't have that. But there's one thing I do enjoy doing. It's water skiing. You probably know that. But I enjoy water skiing. But now, I'm not a big fan of skiing when it's rough. I just love that 8:30 p.m. water ski when it's just glass and it's just beautiful and the water just zims. It's just magnificent. It's so enjoyable. I don't really like skiing when it's rough. So what do I often do? Well, if there's 5 boats on the lake, I'll wait till the 5 boats have all come in. But I don't go out straight away. I've got to wait a few moments, a few minutes before the waves calm down. Because have you ever noticed with the wake of a boat can go past you, but the wake of the boat will keep coming in for a little while. And that's the same with the waves in the ocean or in a big lake. When a storm goes instantly calm, when the wind stops, the waves don't. It can take hours and hours before it settles. But here, in the midst of this great storm, these great waves, Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves and instantly it goes still. Instantly. Because when Jesus speaks, creation listens. It's amazing what these verses are actually telling us. It's actually telling us that Jesus has authority over all creation. And these disciples go, wow, who is this man? In the next section, the demons will tell them who it is. It's the Son of God. It's telling us that Jesus is the master of creation. He is the Lord of creation, that he's in a position of authority. In the Old Testament, it is God who has power and authority over the waves. It's God who can still the oceans and everything in it. What this is saying is that Jesus is God. No wind rises, no lightning strike happens. Nothing goes unnoticed without his permission. Jesus' words uphold all things. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. Why is Jesus calm? He's God. He's God. So you can trust him. Therefore, because he is Lord of all creation, therefore we disciples of Jesus, we have secondly no need to fear. Nothing is outside his control. As I've already said, there's no thunderstorm, there's no lightning that happens without his permission. There is nothing outside of God's sovereignty. Nothing is outside of him that he does not have authority over. What is happening right now hasn't taken Jesus by surprise. It hasn't shocked him. He's not panicking. You know, the last 12 months may have felt like a wave after wave after wave coming crashing in. You know, a drought. Then the fires. And then COVID-19. Maybe it's been health. Maybe it's been sickness. Maybe it's been death. But why do we become so frightened? Because we realize we don't have control. But there is no need to fear because Jesus is Lord of all creation. I wonder if you're during this just last couple of months in lockdown and just with what's been going on around the globe, are you someone that just every 20 minutes is just checking the newspapers, trying to hear what's been happening next, looking for updates, looking for photos? And the more you check out what's going on in the news, the more you're becoming anxious and worried and fearful of tomorrow. Or maybe you're the opposite. COVID-19 really hasn't affected your situation. But you're petrified of failing in your job. Or maybe you're scared of health concerns or getting cancer. Or maybe there's just that underlying fear and anxiety of going, I'm elderly, I need to sell my house and move into Southern Cross. And the unknownness of that scares you. Maybe you were just quite worried about your kids' schooling during COVID. Will these couple of months affect the rest of their life? Maybe you're in year 12 and you think, what a year to do my HSC. And you're thinking, man, is this going to destroy the rest of my life for the next 50 years? And so you're afraid of what is tomorrow. Or maybe you're on a gap year. Or unsure about your career path. And you just want to take control, but you can't. But in this passage, Jesus is saying, you can trust me. I'm Jesus. I'm here. Because at the center of these verses, we're seeing that Jesus has authority over creation, that he is the Lord of creation. If you're a disciple, if you're a Christian, if you're a disciple of Jesus, what we've got today is we've got a clearer picture of really who Jesus is. And what we're going through right now, it is not taking him by surprise. Even the wind and the waves obey his word. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you're not a Christian and you're just sort of keeping Jesus at arm's distance. It's like, I don't really want much to do with you. But what you've seen in this passage is that Jesus actually has authority over everything. And that means whether you like it or not, he actually has authority over you. that he is the Son of God. And we have to respond to that. A disciple of Jesus is someone who knows their need. They know their helplessness in their sin and that they can do nothing except trust in what Christ has done. The reason so many people are frightened or concerned about the tomorrow is that we want control of our circumstances. The virus, the COVID-19 virus, points to our desperate need for Jesus. Later in the Gospel of Matthew, we see the one who calmed the wind and the waves, who could cast out demons, who could heal and raise the dead. The one who created us out of the dust, Jesus, was the same one who went and was crucified on a cross, who was nailed to a cross. And yet the one who could calm the storm, the one who spoke creation into existence, he could have come down from that cross. But he stayed there for you and me. He went to the cross for our sin. And so we know that we can trust him, that he is who he really is. But to do that, we need to bite our pride. We need to recognize our utter hopelessness. And we all need to do something with Jesus. Who is he? He's the Lord of all creation. Therefore, number two, we have no need to fear. So thirdly, therefore, we can follow fearlessly. We can follow fearlessly. We don't have to fear what we may face today or tomorrow. Last year, my lovely wife and I, we celebrated 10 years of marriage. I think it was last year, yeah. It's a long time ago. We celebrated 10 years of marriage. We made it. So we thought, well, we'll go on a P&O cruise to Moreton Island. So when we got to Moreton Island, we had a day on Moreton Island, and we decided to go on a scuba diving adventure. And so we hired these little battery-operated things that were supposed to propel you through the water. But as we're heading out to this reef, I was surprised and shocked about how strong the current was. It was huge. Our guide said, oh, the current's going to be strong today. And as I hopped in, this battery-operated device that was supposed to pull you through the water could not drag me against the tide. It was so strong. And in that moment, I had this sense of fear and anxiety going, am I really going to make it through this? Can I actually do this? And I was quite afraid. But then I realized, right, I'd forgotten who I was with. Right? We were with an instructor, a young bloke, nice and gentle, and he just said, just jump in, it'll be right. Follow me. It's like, ooh, I'm with you. And so we jumped in and we went in between all these shipwrecks. But he was with us. We had nothing to fear. See, here, these disciples, their circumstances have changed in a moment, but Jesus is there with them. Following Jesus doesn't remove suffering. Following Jesus doesn't remove the hazards of life. Following Jesus doesn't free you or mean that you won't get touched by the coronavirus. The storm was huge, but I am with you, says Jesus. The calming of the storm is for us to know that he's Lord of all creation and to move us beyond awe and amazement to going, it's worth the cost of following him. It's worth the cost of giving up our own selfish desires. It's worth the cost of giving up things so that we can follow him and tell others about Jesus. where one day Jesus is going to consummate and it will be complete, that his kingdom of God will come in and there'll be no more tears, no more suffering, and no more death. For the old order of things will have passed. But in the meantime, it's going to be costly to follow him. It's going to be costly over the months coming at Parks Baptist Church. It's been costly in the last couple of months for many of you. Following Jesus is going against the status quo. Fearlessly following him wherever he calls you, regardless of the cost. Following Jesus, it's going to hurt your back pocket. It's going to change how you retire. It's going to change how you view your business, or your farm, or your job, or your kids' schooling, or your HSC. There's going to be a cost for you as you regather again someday. There's going to be a cost to being able to get together again. That cost may be that you can't sit in the same seat you once sat in. There may be a cost to some things that have been tradition that you'll have to give up just so you can meet. There's a cost to following Jesus. It may mean you can't put in as many hours into your business or your career. It may mean that you may not get the highest marks on your HSC because of what it means to serve and love others and serve people in your local church, or to be out on mission seeking the lost. Or maybe, as you've heard this, maybe you've realized, I'm a Christian, but you really haven't weighed the cost. It hasn't affected or changed the way you view the world or life. But now, as you understand more who Jesus really is, it will shape the decisions you make this week and the weeks to come. You know, my world in the last 3 months, it's been flipped upside down. For some, the isolation's been a bit more of a relaxation, whereas for me, it's just changed just even your energy and your emotional levels. But even through this circumstance and through this season, I can trust Jesus. Jesus is saying, you can trust me. Look who I am. I'm the Son of God. Nothing's taken me by surprise. In Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We see this picture of David saying, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You're with me through the darkest valley. And yet, Jesus, he went through the darkest storm, the darkest valley alone on the cross, who took the wrath of his Father that we should have taken. He went through that valley alone so that you and me today can go through the darkest valley and know that he's with us. And Jesus says later on in Matthew, he says, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades won't prevail. I am the Lord of all creation, says Jesus. So we have nothing to fear. So let's follow him fearlessly. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that because of Jesus we have no need to fear today or tomorrow, because he is the Lord of all creation. Help us to fearlessly follow you, knowing you are with us. And I pray for those who don't yet know Jesus that today they will see him. Amen.